Well, good evening, everybody. Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Well, praise God. I have a good feeling in my spirit tonight.
Amen.
I feel that something is going to happen in this place tonight, and I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, amen. All right. As we start tonight's message, there's a couple of things that I would like to address. You know, last week I had a very unfortunate incident, and I would like to speak about it because I'm sure it's been discussed. We had people that came here last week for the first time, supposedly needing prayer for something. And then they noticed that some of my members of my ministry team were standing outside having a smoke. And the statement was made that these people better not lay hands on me because I don't want them near me and they are nothing but hypocrites. And I want to say something to you. When that was conveyed to me, I felt angry, very angry. Firstly, I want to say to you that nobody has the right to judge nobody else. You know, Jesus made it very plain. If you got no sin, cast the first stone. And I want to say something to you. A lot of people feel that they have the right to judge other people, but you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know where they are in their spiritual walk with God. And nobody has the right to judge anybody else based on what's going on in their lives. And I confronted these two ladies and I said to them, you know what? I can say one thing about these people. They are good people. They are honest people. They are sincere people and they love God. And they might have some sin in their life, but their sin is out in the open. I can see what they're doing. My question is, what is in your heart for you to treat them this way? And I said to them, you know what, ladies, I suggest you get in your car and you go home. You find another ministry to help you because this ministry obviously cannot help you. And while you go home, I suggest you search your hearts because you came to this place with a critical spirit and you came here to judge us. And you know what? We will not stand for that. And tonight, I actually do want to speak. The message that I'm going to share with you speaks about this. You know, people are very quick to judge. And some people have this feeling that they are better than others. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm no better than you. And I want you to listen carefully. You are no better than anybody else here. And you know what? If you have no problems, you have the right to speak about somebody else. But everybody's got problems. Everybody, raise your hands if you've got no problems, you've got no issues, you've got no drama, you've got no epic corners. Everything in your life's perfect. Let me see your hands. Because then you can come and pray for me. Let the record show that that young boy raised his hands. But he's probably 5 years old and he doesn't understand.
He doesn't have problems.
No, he's right. He doesn't have problems. Yes, my boy. Well done. You know, some people have this religious spirit about them. They think they're so good. They think they're so special. They think they're so nice. And they have this way of looking down on other people. You know what? In the Bible, they were called Pharisees. And I want to say this to you. Jesus had no problem calling them a brood of vipers because that's what they were. A brood of vipers. We're all walking a road with God. Every one of you has things in your life that need to be dealt with. And I want to explain to you how God works. You know what? You can have 10 different people in a room. And all of them can have various diverse problems and issues and whatever. God knows where to start. To you, you might want them to stop smoking right now. But maybe there's other things that's much more important in their life that needs to be dealt with right now. And God will start with the important things first. You know what? Praise God that He doesn't operate the way we want. Because if God had to operate the way we want, nobody would be helped. God sees what's necessary. God sees what's big. God sees what really constitutes a problem. And what's in people's hearts make them far more dangerous than what's between their fingers. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why God will always start with the heart of man. You know, the reason why David was chosen to be a king was simply because of what was in his heart. It wasn't the outward image of his brothers that were bigger and stronger and more powerful and sexier and more handsome and whatever that impressed God. It was what was in the heart of that boy. And when God chooses somebody to stand in His service and to work for Him, God is not interested in the way you see them. It's the way He sees them that counts. Because God knows their character. God knows their nature. God knows their hearts. God knows them inside and out. This ministry is not perfect because there's people involved. But the perfection in this ministry comes through Jesus Christ, who manifests His love, His presence, and His power here. He does so every single night. Amen. So if anybody has ever whispered in your ear that we're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites and we don't know what we're doing and what, I want to say something to you. Please, to the people that like to speak that way, get alive. And if you don't like us, don't come here. You know what? Just pack your bags and go. We will not miss you. In fact, probably you'll do me a big favor if you move on to greener pastures. Yeah. I want to read you a scripture. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 7, verse 37 to 50. This is a very, very amazing passage of scripture. Listen to this. Okay, I'm going to come and stand here because there's not a lot of light there. Luke chapter 30, chapter 7 from verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man truly were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, and that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, and so he canceled the debt of them both. Now which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I have entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven." Amen. "For she loved much, but he who has been forgiven very little loves very little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Amen. The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace." All right. There's a man by the name of Simon, who the Bible tells us is a Pharisee, and he invites Jesus to a banquet. This seems a little bit strange because if you've read the Bible, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you get the idea that the Pharisees did not like Jesus very much. In fact, they all had an issue with him, and whenever they had an opportunity, they would always go in, they would always give him grief, they would always in some way attack him, they gossiped about him a lot, they slandered him a lot, and so now Jesus gets invited to come to this man's house to have a banquet, which is just a nice way of saying they were going to have a party at his house. Now, here's the question. Why would Jesus even bother to go to this man's house if he knew how these people felt about him? And I'm going to give you a very straightforward answer. John chapter 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Even if you have an attitude with God, God still loves you and still cares about you. And you know what? That is the love of God. Even those that reject him will be given an opportunity. Why was Jesus there? Jesus was there because he loved that man, even though that man could not stand him. Jesus was in that man's house to give him an opportunity. Maybe they could have a nice discussion. Maybe this man's eyes would open. You never know, but Jesus was there because Jesus is the Savior of mankind. Jesus is not a respecter of a person. He came to save the lost and all of the lost. And I want to say something to you. There is hope for every single person. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many black things are behind your name, how many times the enemy has used you or abused you. When Jesus comes into your life, there is a chance for you. Amen?
Amen.
Ah, praise God. So, banquets in those days was something big. When somebody held a banquet, they wanted everybody to know that they were holding a banquet. Banquets back then was held out in the open. It was almost like a bit of a street party. It was almost like a bit of a street carnival. Okay, if you weren't invited, you had to be on the outer skirts. And everybody that was invited was allowed to come in. But when you forked out bucks, money, ching ching, for a party, you wanted everybody to know and you wanted everybody to notice what you were doing. So this party was held outside for everybody to see. The onlookers often had to wait on the important guests as they arrived. So in other words, people from the street, if they would come and wait tables or come and help in some way, they were allowed to mingle with the crowd, but they were not allowed to be part of the party. They could come as servants and they could be involved in that way. They would stand outside, they would watch, they would see everything. And one very important thing to notice is back in the day, women were not invited to this type of banquet. Women were one side. The men were having a big fat party. The women had to cook and clean and do all of the stuff. But the women were not allowed to be there where everybody was enjoying themselves. And a rabbi in those days was not allowed to speak to a woman in public. It was frowned upon. It was not allowed. When a woman was to address a rabbi in public, he had to ignore her and walk away because it was not done. It was not etiquette and it was not acceptable. And then suddenly this woman just appears at this man's house. She walks straight up to Jesus and she begins to wash his feet with her tears. Here's the question. Was she invited? No, she couldn't have been invited because women weren't invited. Was the people happy that she was there? Definitely nobody was happy that she was there. In fact, she was causing a big stir. And I can tell you right now that the Pharisee that invited Jesus, that was behind this whole party, he was probably doing his nut because what's this woman doing? Yeah, his reputation is going to go down the tubes now. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume. Now, you know what? This story is about the woman, but we're not told very much about the woman. In fact, the only thing that we know about this woman is that the Bible says she lived a sinful life. We know that she lived a sinful life and that Simon was especially repulsed by her presence. You remember Simon said, if Jesus knew what type of a woman this was, if he truly was a prophet, he would have nothing to do with her. In fact, what he was revealing to us by saying that or thinking that was the way he felt about this woman. You bet your life that Simon, if this woman came near him, he wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't speak to her. He would be like, have you ever heard, you know, in the cartoons, it's like all the girls have got cooties. Well, this woman had serious cooties. She had like big problems hanging around her. And he didn't want nothing to do with this woman. And he couldn't understand why Jesus would tolerate her. Simon and the others at the banquet knew her by her reputation. Now, you know what? We're not yet to judge the woman, but the most likely scenario is that this woman was probably a prostitute because she had a reputation amongst the men. And men, especially religious people, would not be anywhere close to her because being close to her, being associated with her, would taint their reputation. Now, let's look at this woman's life. Let's argue that she was a prostitute. in order for you to become a prostitute, I want to say something to you. Very few people choose to become a prostitute because it's a good life. It tends to happen because of the circumstances of your life that force you into that type of a lifestyle. And there is no way that you like that lifestyle. You get caught up in that lifestyle. You become a victim of that lifestyle, but nobody really likes it. So if we ask the question, what could have caused her to become a prostitute? You know what? There's a lot of things that could cause her to become a prostitute. It could be a number of things. Let's look at a couple of them. What if she was abused as a child? You know what? We like to judge people. But you know what? The only way that you can truly judge somebody is if you have walked in their shoes and if you know their circumstances. And a lot of times we want to judge somebody based on where they are now, but we have no idea where they came from to be in the position where they are right now. You know, a lot of young ladies become prostitutes because as a child, 3, 4, 5 years old, they become abused by somebody in their family. Or the person that is supposed to look after them abuses them sexually in some way. And that opens them up to spirits of lust and spirits of perversion, sexual immorality. And you know what? That child didn't ask for this. It's something that was forced on them by another individual that doesn't care about their life. And we have no right to judge them for where they are right now because we do not know why they are doing what they are doing. I have had the opportunity to pray for many people that fell into all sorts of sexual perversion. And I want to say to you, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, had this forced upon them by other people when they were weak and defenseless. In other words, when they were young. And some of them actually received these things through the bloodline. So who are we to judge them for what they do and where they are? Jesus never judged nobody. Jesus simply offered love, acceptance, and help. Isn't that the way we should look at people? Isn't that the way we should treat people? You know what? The world would be a much better place if we stopped pointing fingers at people and hitting people because of what they do and where they are, and we extended a hand of love and said, listen, yeah, come, let's help you. That's what Jesus did. You know, a lot of people like to wear this little armband, WWJD, what would Jesus do? The funny thing is when you look at their life and the way they treat other people, it's not what Jesus would do. Amen? Maybe she was abused as a child. Maybe she's been in a very bad relationship, 1, 2, or 3, or 4 bad relationships. Maybe she's been hanging around with abusive men. You know what? Back in the day, women didn't really work. They didn't earn money. If she'd been around a couple of guys that beat her up and clopped her around and this and that, in the end, and they didn't take care of her, that might have been the only avenue available to her to put food on the table. How do we know she didn't have 3 children at home? And that was the only way for her to really have a work. I want to actually throw something out there. What if, you know, I can't prove any of this. We're just sketching a couple of scenarios as to why this woman could be there. What if her first boyfriend turned around and told everybody, because they had a fight, that she's a slut? She sleeps with everything. Suddenly her reputation is completely damaged because everybody will take the man's side, not her side. Now nobody wants to have anything to do with her. Her parents have renounced her and she's left to fend for herself, and that is the only option available to her. And actually she did nothing. Who are we to judge her? Nobody has the right to judge her because we don't know why she is where she is. Maybe she grew up very poor. Maybe she had no money. Maybe that was the only way for her to survive. It's also possible that she got involved with the wrong crowd. And because she got involved with the wrong crowd, slowly but surely her life started going down that road. Perhaps she suffered from severe rejection and she did not believe that any man could ever love her for who she was. And that was the only way for her to get some attention. In the end, we don't know why she became a prostitute. We have no information given to us. But we know that very few people will choose to do this. People get forced into this by the circumstances of life. Now let's look at some of the results of her lifestyle. Being a prostitute, that career choice or the career that she found herself in would have serious influence and consequences on her life and her lifestyle. Let's put it out there that she probably didn't have a lot of friends. You know what? A lot of people don't want to associate with somebody like that. So people, when they see you walk down the street, they put their noses up. They don't like you. They don't want to hang around with you. They don't want to associate with you. Every woman that saw her coming down the street immediately had hatred for her because they weren't sure whether their husbands might be faffing around with her or not. And if their husbands weren't faffing around with her, they didn't want her coming close enough to the husband for the husband to get any ideas. So whether she was a good or a bad person didn't matter. Because of who she was hated by probably 99% of the women that knew her. The men, probably some of them definitely had no problem with her. Some of them probably liked her, but they didn't like her as a person. They liked her because of what they could get from her. They liked to use her, they liked to abuse her, and then they liked to throw her away. Nobody respected her as a person. And I can tell you one thing. Because of the lifestyle that she was caught up in, she suffered a lot of abuse. People called her names. There was hate speech thrown at her. Men abused her physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually. She had her own feelings of guilt, pain, hurt, rejection, shame, and condemnation. You must understand something. Today she's busy with 2, 3, 4 men. Tonight she has to lie in bed and she has to somehow come to grips with what just happened to her. This one hit her, that one did this to her, that one did that to her. She feels empty inside, she feels bitter, she feels hurt. I don't care who you are. When you look at the life that this woman lived, you know that she did not have a good quality of life. So what I'm really trying to show you is that this woman did not have a good life. She had a really horrible, bad life. I'm pretty sure that when you are sitting here tonight and you think about your life, you can come up with a couple of problems. But maybe when you compare your life to what this woman went through, you will realize that maybe your life is not as bad as you thought. I want to ask you a question. How did this woman relate to Jesus? Taking into account how bad her life was and how hopeless her life must have seemed. Now here's the amazing thing. This woman has no real life. She's not loved by anybody. She's despised by most people. She's used to abuse. Probably her life, she feels like a complete failure. Probably she has no hope for tomorrow. She's just trying to exist for today. She walks into this place, she sees Jesus. What is the first thing that she does? She runs up to him, she grabs him, she begins to worship him. She shows him love and appreciation. Luke chapter 7:37, look at this. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This is amazing. Why do I say that this is amazing? Because this is totally the opposite of the way most people would react. You see, some people will get upset with God when things don't go their way. They yell, they shout, they throw tantrums. They stop praying, they stop reading their Bible, they stop going to church. Lord, I have just problems. Nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. Everything always goes wrong in my life. I don't catch a break. Everything is a disaster. I don't care about you, Lord. You're never there for me. People sometimes turn their back on God when they're in the type of situation where this woman is. Now, I want to say something to you about this woman. She might have had 100 reasons to turn her back on God. And probably in her mind she could justify herself for hating God, for wanting nothing to do with him. But we can all learn something from this woman. No matter how bad her life was, no matter how horrible the circumstances and the situations that were forced on her from day to day, she understood something that a lot of us need to learn. There is only one place for salvation. and that is Jesus Christ. And when she had, you know what? I can't prove it to you, but what if she had only one opportunity to get close to Jesus? She took that opportunity. Let me sketch you the situation again. There was a banquet at the house of a Pharisee. A man who was very hoity-toity and was very concerned about his public image. His servants must have flipped when they saw this woman come into the house. Probably they did everything they could to push her out. Did she go back? No, she didn't. Probably she had to pass Simon on the way to Jesus. Probably he was yelling at her, shouting abuse. Get out of my house. I didn't invite you. Who do you think you are? You stupid woman. You're not supposed to be here. Probably there was a big scene. As far as she went, she didn't care. There was only one thing on her mind. Today, I want help. Today, I will do whatever it takes to get to the one man that I know that I know that I know can change my life forever. And she didn't let nobody stop her. She made her way through a hostile crowd. And I can tell you now that the crowd was hostile because they didn't want her there. Nobody wanted her there. She spoiled the atmosphere. She tainted this wonderful party of theirs. But she didn't let them stop her. She fought her way through these men until she came to the feet of Jesus. She stood behind him and she started weeping. The next thing he knew, something is happening to my feet. Oh, there's a woman busy washing my feet. She took an alabaster jar and she began to anoint him. Did Jesus stop her? No. Did everybody want Jesus to stop her? They wanted Jesus. You know what? Here was Simon. Oh, Jesus is going to put her in her place right now. Jesus should know who this woman is. Wait for it. And then it didn't happen. Jesus did not turn on this woman, start shouting at her. Jesus didn't make her feel this big by condemning her and belittling her. Do you know what she received from Jesus? Instead of rejection, she received acceptance. Instead of hatred, bitterness, and vile language, she received love. For God is love. And in Christ, there is hope for everybody, no matter where you come from, no matter how bad your background. It's not bad enough that God will take you and push you away. There's always hope for every single one of us. This woman may have had plenty of reasons to feel God doesn't care for her, she doesn't need God anymore, yet she still worshipped him. In spite of her difficulties, in spite, listen to these words, in spite of. We live in a society where we want everything to be perfect, and as long as everything is perfect, we will worship God. But man, it better not be bad, because then, oh, you know, God doesn't care about me. This woman didn't have a good life. She actually had a horrible life. But in spite of her horrible life, she still loved God. She still worshipped God. She still fell at his feet. She still worshipped him. And I want to ask you a question. If there was 100 people at that party, if there was 1,000 people at that banquet, out of all 1,000 of them, probably there was only one that touched the heart of God that day. Who was it? Well, it wasn't Simon with his grand apparel and all his chains around his neck and his fancy outfits and his classic house. Jesus wasn't interested in any of that stuff. The only thing Jesus was interested in was the hearts of people. What does God look at when he looks at a person? Does he look at the car you drive? No. Does he look at the house you live in? No. Does he look at the suit that you're wearing? Is it a name brand or not? No. Jesus, when he looks at your life, he sees one thing, and he sees the heart. And this woman had a heart of gold. The other people around had hearts of fool's gold. God sees the difference. Let's look at the Pharisee. I want to ask the question, why did the Pharisee invite Jesus? Well, he didn't invite Jesus because he liked Jesus. We know that they didn't like Jesus. He didn't invite Jesus because he cared about Jesus. We know that they didn't care much about him. There was only one reason why he invited Jesus, because everybody was following Jesus and he believed it would be good for his public image to associate with this rabbi. There was only one reason he had Jesus there. Because Jesus, being at his party, would do something for his ego, would do something for him. His motives in inviting Christ was not pure. They were evil. He looked down on this woman, he despised her, and he believed that he was much better than her. He was much more godly than her. He was much more spiritual than her. He couldn't stand the fact that she came and disgraced his party with her presence. Can I tell you something about this man? He had a judgmental, critical spirit, which is something that Jesus could not stand. And he didn't just judge the woman, he judged Jesus the same way. Listen to this, Luke 7:39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, in other words, when he saw that Jesus didn't kick up a stink when this woman started washing his feet and putting perfume on him, when he saw that Jesus seemed to accept this immediately in his heart, this is what he began to think. He said to himself, if this man were a true prophet, he would know who is touching him. In other words, what type of a despicable person is touching him right now? And what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Now that shows us what kind of a man this oak really was. And can I tell you something? Even though in his heart he was hoping that Jesus would put her in her place, Jesus ended up putting him in his place. Luke 7:44. He turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but from the time I've entered, this woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You did not put any oil on my forehead, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins has been forgiven. I mean, you must understand what a rebuke this was for this Pharisee, because he's trying to show all his friends how spiritual he is, that Jesus is hanging around at his party. The man doing the signs, the wonders and the miracles is associating with me. I'm something special. And then Jesus turns around and he says, listen, yeah, this woman just received something from me that you can't have.
Amen.
This woman received salvation.
Wow.
You get nothing.
Amen.
This Pharisee was very religious. Let me tell you something about religious people. Religious people miss the point.
Oh, yes.
It's not about what you do. It's not about what you say. It's about what you have in your heart.
Amen.
This man wanted Jesus there because of what Jesus could do for him. He wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus. He wanted to use Jesus. That's all. When this woman came into that place, she didn't want to use Jesus in any way. She was there for what she could do for him. She wanted to show him love, affection, and worship. This woman didn't have a religious bone in her body. Yet her worship came from her heart. It was true and it was sincere. Guess who touched Jesus' heart? The woman knew that she was a sinner. Listen, yeah. She didn't try and make like she wasn't who she was. Yes, this is who I am. I can't help it right now. But regardless of where I come from, regardless of what I've done, I still love you, Lord. Guess what Jesus said? Come to me. All who are burdened and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. But it's how you come to him. The Pharisee came to him to use and to abuse. This woman came to him humble and in worship. Jesus received from the woman and he pushed the Pharisee away. This woman did know that she was a sinner. That's why she came to Jesus. She knew that she couldn't sort herself out. She knew that she couldn't save herself. The Pharisee was also full of sin. Oh, but Rion, how can you say that? Well, pride is a sin. Arrogance is a sin. Judgmental and critical spirit, that's a sin. He was self-righteous. He was arrogant. He was pompous. But he acted like he was perfect. And I want to say something to you. The world is still full of people like that, and they still have a pharisaical spirit. There's a lot of people in this world, in front of people, they act, I'm so perfect, I'm so right, I'm so righteous, I'm so good. I want to tell you something. Jesus has never changed his mind about people like that. They are still Pharisees in his eyes.
Amen.
It's not how you act before people. It's what you have in your heart that God is interested in. And I want to say something to you, and maybe this is not so much for you as for other people that will later listen to this message, but you should truly search your heart. Because just because you impress people by being all religious and knowing a scripture here and there and this and that, but your heart is evil, you don't impress God. I want to tell you, there are two people that nobody can fool. Nobody fools God, nobody fools the devil. Because both of them see right through you. You can be all nice with me and be all lovey-dovey and whatever. And maybe suck up to me a little bit. And probably to some extent you'll get away with it because I'm not some fortune teller. I don't know everything. And in the same way, people can do the same with you, and probably for a while you'll fall for it. But I want to say something to you. The Holy Spirit never falls for that nonsense.
Amen.
I want to say something to you that you might not know, but God hates false people.
Yes.
He can't stand them. Yeah. You know, the Bible says the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Well, if the truth will set you free, then falseness will put you in bondage. People who have a false spirit are in bondage to Satan in ways that they cannot even imagine. They think they get away with it. Nobody gets away with nothing.
Amen.
Now let's look at what happened because of this woman's actions. Firstly, this woman was not supposed to be there. She was not supposed to touch Jesus. Nobody liked her. Nobody wanted her there. Everybody was trying to get rid of her. But you know what? She didn't care. Because she wasn't there to impress Yanni and Sunny and Pitti and Kursi and Opa and Oma. She wasn't there to impress nobody. She was there for herself. Not being selfish, she needed help. And she knew Jesus was the truth and the way and the life. Therefore, she wanted to be with him. She didn't care what people thought. She only cared what Jesus thought. Worship is something that is between you and God. It's not between you and other people. She was there to worship him. It was her way of humbling herself before him and coming to him with the right contrite spirit to receive. This woman knew she had problems. Listen, yeah. If you lived the life she lived, you don't wonder whether you have problems. You know you have problems. She just didn't know how to get out of it. But she knew that Jesus could help. And can I tell you how Jesus fixed all of her problems? No, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to her next, but the Bible tells us something amazing. Jesus offered her salvation. My friend, all the money in the world cannot buy salvation. It is something offered by God and by God only. It was this woman's faith that saved her, but it was her worship of Christ that touched his heart and moved his hand to save her. She was unashamed in her worship. You know, the perfume that she put on Jesus' feet cost the equivalent of an average man's wages for an entire year. I don't know what you earn, but let's say, for argument's sake, you earn 15,000 rand a month. Or let's say you earn 10,000 rand a month. Then in today's value, based on your salary, that woman took 120,000 rand value bottle of perfumed oil and poured it out on Jesus' feet. Boom. Like that. She gave her best. And you know what? We can all learn something from her. You know, this has got nothing to do with money, but you know, a lot of people have a big problem putting 100 rand in because, you know, 5 rand is enough. I want you to understand something. When you give, you don't give to the ministry, you give to God.
Amen.
And if you give your worst, don't expect God to give his best in return, because that's not the way it works. This woman received salvation because of her heart. She was willing to give her best. Therefore, she received God's best. God cannot give you better than salvation, my friend. That's the top. That's the epitome. That's the the highest of the highs. Because there's a lot of people down here, they got money, they got status, they got power, they got everything seemingly, but one day they will rot in hell. And salvation will be far from them. And in the end, it's got nothing to do with what you've achieved. It's got nothing to do with how people speak about you and what people say about you and what people think about you. It's got nothing to do with the car that you drive or the house that you live in. It's got to do with what's in your heart, and salvation is in the heart of man. She was generous in her worship. She was sincere when she gave. You know what the Bible says? God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God sees our hearts. When you give to God and it's like moan, moan, grumble, grumble, you got problems. You're going to receive nothing from God in return. But when this woman gave to Jesus, she didn't sit there like, oh, you know what, this perfume is worth a fortune, but I have to do something to get his attention. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm doing this. There was nothing like that. She gave freely. And therefore she received freely. What was the result of all of this? It was salvation. I want to ask you a question. She put, in today's value, the equivalent of 120,000 rand bottle of perfume all over his feet. Do you agree with me that that's a lot of money? Now let me ask you this question. How much is salvation worth? Well, salvation is priceless. She gave something relatively obscure compared to what she received in return. You know, most of you have heard this statement, and it's true. You can never outgive God. Whatever you give to Him, you'll always receive something bigger in return. Amen. I want to say this to you. This Pharisee had a critical and a judgmental spirit. He thought he was better than other people. Be careful who you and how you judge. Because the people that you judge may be much closer to God than you. So I think we can all learn something from this. We don't know why people are where they are. We don't know what they went through to be in the circumstances that they are. God will not push them away. Who are we to push them away? Amen. Jesus did not judge this woman. He did not say to her, "You dirty prostitute, how dare you touch my feet?" He received her with love. And probably that's the way we should treat people. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "I forgive you for your weakness and for your sin, because I have a lot of my own. Thank you, Lord." Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Did anybody learn something?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. All right, can I have your attention, please, just while everything is happening, if you could just lend me your ears. I sent out an SMS today, and apparently I made a big mistake in the date that I put there. We're going to be having a meeting at Dynamica Wurschool in Brackenhurst, not the 27th of December, but the 27th of November. If you go there on the 27th of December, I will not be there. I want to ask you, please, I need your help. We need to advertise this. It's in the South. A lot of people saying if we come to the South, they will attend. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. How many of you are from the South? Can I ask you please to make a commitment and to help me on the 27th of November, which is next Friday, coming Friday, we will be having a meeting in the Dynamica School Hall. We will be starting at 7 o'clock. And if you work with me, I believe God can help us to fill that hall. I believe God's going to bless us. It's going to be a wonderful evening. But I need your help. So please help me. Amen. Please help me to spread the word. If you are on Facebook, please put it on Facebook. Eddie made a little thingy for us. You can just copy it or share it or whatever. I'm sure some of the guys are going to post it on Facebook this week, and you just share it and people will get the message. Say again.
I did receive it. I didn't look at the date.
The date is wrong. In the week, I will send another SMS out with the right date, just so that you know that the date was wrong. I realized that when somebody sent me an SMS back. Yeah.
Thank God for the 20 people.
Yes, praise God.